Considering creation. Do you like nature? Revision 10. Creator Awareness Evangelism Through Discussing Intelligent Design, by Ron Myers. Do you like nature? Excuse me. I was wondering, do you like nature? Almost everybody is fascinated with nature. I love nature as well. The things of nature are so wonderful, breathtakingly beautiful, scenic, and enjoyable. Did you ever wonder where it all came from and how it all came into existence? Perhaps you could help answer a question for me. Many people are confused about this. Some people think that everything in nature came about by happenstance or natural causes. However, they admit that they don't know for sure. Others disagree. They say, "No way, it's just not possible." They point out that all nature has logical, intricate design and reason, pointing to the fact that there must have been a creator, an owner, a master designer or great architect, and that it couldn't all have just happened into existence or come about by natural causes. Oxygen is needed for life to exist. For instance, it has been pointed out that we need oxygen to live. All living beings rely on oxygen, even fish. We take in oxygen from the atmosphere when we breathe in. The fresh air goes into our lungs, where it enters our bloodstream. It is then carried throughout our body by our blood cells, replenishing life. It nourishes our cells and removes the old, which is then expelled back into the atmosphere as carbon dioxide when we breathe out. If a person were to be locked in a sealed room, that person would die after a while when all the oxygen got used up. Considering the fact that there are now over 7 billion people in the world today, why don't we all die from lack of oxygen? Where does the new oxygen come from? And, why doesn't it get used up? Interestingly, green tree leaves absorb the expelled carbon dioxide and convert it back into oxygen again. What a miracle! How did the trees know how to do that for us? Did they hold an emergency meeting to provide oxygen for us humans, as well as other things like animals and fish? Or, was there possibly a brilliant master designer, a marvelous engineer, who designed and created the trees to do that for us? Flowers, real and artificial. Have you ever considered the flowers? That they are all so beautiful, so intricate, so delicate, so colorful? Do you think you could make a flower? People can make artificial flowers that look and even feel almost like real ones, but they can't create real live flowers. No one can. In fact, if you put a bouquet of artificial flowers beside a bouquet of real flowers, sometimes you can't tell the difference. Did you ever touch a bouquet to see if it was real? It's difficult to tell sometimes. However, if you set them aside for a few days and come back a week or so later, could you tell them apart then? Yes, of course, because the real flowers have died by then, but the artificial ones still look nice. They are actually dead as well because they never possessed life in the first place. Unlike real flowers, the human eye is a miraculous sensory organ. How do we know that the flowers are beautiful? Or the trees and all the other scenic beauties of nature all around us? Yes, that's right, we can see them with our eyes. That's how we know. Did you ever consider how wonderful and miraculous our eyes truly are, or how different life would be without our eyes? They are just two little round balls of flesh and blood, sort of like two large grapes. Yet they make us aware of what is around us. We have been given our eyes, not merely so we can find our way around, or not stumble or bump into something, but so that we can see and enjoy all the beautiful scenery that nature has to offer all around us, not only the wonders here below but the stars and galaxies in the heavens above as well. Our eyes have controlling muscles that help them follow fast-moving objects, and we don't even have to think about it. Our eyes can adjust automatically to both bright and dark environments. They can discern the difference between millions of colors and shades, like with the beautiful flowers we love to admire. Our eyes also have lenses, similar to cameras, but much better. They focus automatically when we look at things close by, or in the distance. When light enters our eye, it passes through the focusing lens, and a picture of the object we are looking at is displayed on the back wall of our eye, called the retina. The image is then transferred from our eye's retina by something called the optic nerve, and shown on the screen in our brains. Our brains can then store the images away in memory to recall later. In fact, scientists have discovered that one tiny cell in our eye's retina is many times more powerful than the most powerful supercomputer that was ever made. And, our eye's retina is made up of millions of these very powerful tiny cells. So, if all of this is true, which it is, how then could our eyes have come into existence all by themselves, or through happenstance? No, they had to have been designed and created by someone very intelligent, a very powerful designer, a master artist. The human frame arm, hand, fingers. Incidentally, how could we pick a beautiful flower without bones, arms, hands, and fingers? Including muscles for control and nerves for touch? We have fingers that can grip the flower stem firmly enough to pluck the flower, yet we can touch its petals very gently with the same fingers without injuring them. This is how we can hold a flower up close to inspect its beauty and enjoy its fragrance. Did these members of our bodies program themselves to be able to do that? Or, do we have a great creator and designer that designed them that way in the beginning? The human nose and ears. Also, how do we know the flowers have a sweet fragrance? Our noses are designed to be able to discern between smells. We can smell the pleasant aroma of flowers, and fresh green grass after a rain shower. Our noses also alert us of not so pleasant smells, like skunks or dead things nearby. They can even protect us from potential danger. If we smell smoke, our noses warn us to be on the alert of a possible fire. How do we hear the birds singing, the ducks quacking, the fish splashing, the insects buzzing, as well as the other sounds around us? Children playing. The gently falling rain or lightning and thunder. The wind passing through the grass and trees. Our ears can discern between different sounds, like different people's voices. We can discern who is talking or singing, even if we don't see them. Where would we be if we didn't have these wonderful senses? We'd be deaf, dumb, blind, and helpless, that's where we'd be. But our designer and creator gave them to us to use and make life more enjoyable. Which came first, the chicken or the egg? Some people like to ask, which came first, the chicken or the egg? Some say the chicken came first with the ability to reproduce, others say the egg. Chicken, egg. Egg, chicken. The same could be said about the coconut and the coconut tree, or any other fruit tree. Which came first, and why? Is there a clear answer? Whatever the case, the more important question is, where did everything come from in the beginning? Did things just appear by themselves? Like the fruit trees, rice, vegetables, birds, animals? Did they just come into existence by happenstance, even us humans? Or, were all these things put here by their designer and creator, to be able to produce offspring after their own kind, all for us to use and enjoy? Life itself, where did it come from? Did you ever wonder where the spark of life itself comes from? A baby chicken is hatched out from its mother's egg and is alive. A human baby is born out of its mother's tummy and is alive. A seed of rice is sown and grows up into a live rice stalk, producing more rice. A beautiful flower sprouts and grows from a small seed. How did all this happen? Have you ever seen a dog give birth to baby kittens? Or a rice plant produce bananas? Or a fish lay frog eggs? Or a cow give birth to a baby pig? Of course not. These all possess life of various types, as well as the ability to reproduce after their own kinds, because our designer and creator made them that way from the beginning. In modern times, science and advanced technology have been able to accomplish many incredible things. However, they have never been able to create life in any form. Not that they haven't tried at various times and in different ways. Humankind and reincarnation. Did you ever wonder where you came from, or how the origin of all humanity began? Where did goodness and purity come from? Or, where did evil and sorrow come from? Or, life and death itself? When and where did it all begin? Did you ever wonder where the very first man and woman, our original parents, came from? Did you ever wonder whenever a new baby is born, where the essence of life and the soul or spirit comes from? Some say people are simply reincarnated back into this world again after they enter death. If people are merely reincarnated again, or recycled, why then is the population of the world constantly growing? For example, the world population is ever increasing. A few years ago, there were 5 billion people, but now there are well over 7 billion and growing millions more than before. Where did the extra millions of people come from? Certainly not reincarnation. It is the same in countries throughout the world. Where did this increase in population come from if we simply die and are reincarnated or recycled back into this world? One person suggested good dogs were reincarnated as humans is the reason for the population increase. That's a lot of dogs. Humans or monkeys? Some people suggest that our ancestors came from monkeys. Do your ancestors have the characteristics and appearance of monkeys? Do they jump from treetop to treetop? Or have long tails? Mine don't. When you stop and think about it, what an insulting suggestion. Blood transfusions. Consider the fact that people of any race can give each other blood transfusions to help save lives, but no one can receive blood from monkeys or other animals. Origins of life. More than that, did you ever ponder about the world and the universe, as to how they all came into existence? People have proposed all sorts of unprovable theories and ideas. And yet, can anyone really know for sure? Some people suggest that our world and the many things in nature, including you and me, just happened into existence accidentally, all by themselves. Some scientists believe in a large explosion theory, called the Big Bang Theory, whereby they assert that's how the world came into existence. That theory is a bit hard to believe, especially when you consider how intricate and involved everything is. Dr. Albert Einstein was one of the greatest, most brilliant scientists who ever lived. He rejected these kinds of theories as being impossible. Einstein is purported to have said, "The universe coming into existence by accident or happenstance is about as likely as a dictionary coming into existence through an explosion in a print shop." Of course, that could never happen, which proves that Dr. Einstein's statement is true. The story of two friends. Have you ever heard the story about the two friends, Mr. Adams and Mr. Brown? Mr. Adams lived in a large city. One day, he traveled to visit his close friend, Mr. Brown, who lived in the mountains amongst all the beautiful scenery. They both loved nature, so, the following morning, Mr. Brown invited his friend Mr. Adams to take a restful walk down a tranquil path that wound through the surrounding mountain forests. Hours passed as they chatted and strolled along, taking in the trees, the flowers, the birds, the animals, including all the sights, sounds, smells and scenery around them. Even the blue skies above were so beautiful, as white fluffy clouds floated by overhead. In the distance, they could see more mountains. They passed by a stream full of fish, a small lake with wild ducks swimming on it, and a waterfall. Soon, the winding path opened up into a large clearing. This was a clearing like Mr. Adams had never seen before. The clearing was blanketed with a neatly mown covering of bright green grass. In the center was a colorful flower garden, with all kinds of beautiful flowers. In the midst of the large flower garden was a palatial home, hewn of various kinds of exotic wood, big picture windows with carved shutters, and a roof of brightly colored tile. It was all so beautiful and ornate that it was hard for Mr. Adams to find words sufficient enough to describe its splendor. Oh my! Who owns that beautiful home and flower garden? Mr. Adams asked his friend. No one, Mr. Brown replied, without even blinking an eye, they've always just been there. What? That's impossible, Mr. Adams objected, that beautiful place has to have an owner. Nope, not that any of us know about, Mr. Brown insisted. Well then, who built it, and who was the designing architect? Mr. Adams asked. Nobody built it, and nobody designed it. As I said before, it's just been there as long as any of us can remember, Mr. Brown repeated. Mr. Adams quit asking, but it made no sense to him. My friend has to be mistaken, he pondered in his heart, there just has to be a creator, a designer, a maker, an owner. Can a house design and build itself? Can anything assemble itself? Think about it. Where is there a house that didn't have an architect, a designer, a builder, or an owner? Or a house that has ever built itself? Can anything design and build itself? Can a wristwatch build itself, or can a car assemble itself? No, of course not. Impossible. I've never seen it happen. Have you? Could the beautiful house and flower garden near Mr. Brown's place just happen into existence by themselves? No, of course not. How about the house where you live? All houses are designed and built by someone. Where did anyone's house ever get built without an architect or designer, a plan, a builder, an overseer, an owner? Where is there a place like that? There is none as far as I know. Natural law's an important aspect. Besides these things, there are numerous natural laws that the Creator set in place from the beginning. Scientists and engineers did not create or invent them, they merely discovered them and now use them to do precise calculations in their research. These natural laws remain constant and unchanged. They are the regulating force or principle that controls every system, every movement, and every function of every scientific system, including governing and controlling the whole universe and every function of all the organs in our bodies. These laws also guide and control everything in all fields of scientific knowledge, including energy, chemistry, mathematics, electricity, speed, acceleration and deceleration, brightness and darkness, heat and cold, gravity, astrophysics, thermodynamics, and the long list continues. Even more than that, there's a recently discovered chemical substance that is called DNA. DNA is present within each cell of every living thing, be it humans, animals, birds, fish, insects, plants, trees, etc. DNA is the abbreviation for a complicated chemical chain that resembles a twisted ladder or spiral staircase. Contained within this twisted chain is an infinitely complicated blueprint of data that reflects the exact structural composition of its host. Now, how could these precise natural laws that govern everything throughout the universe, as well as the complicated DNA structure in every cell, have ever come about by merely happening into existence all by themselves? It's simply not possible. Which view is right? Could all nature have a creator? A designer? A builder? An owner? So, considering all these things, which group do you think understands correctly? Is it the group that says everything just happened into existence all by itself? Or, as others say, is there a powerful creator? An accomplished designer? A skilled architect? A master builder? An owner, as it were? Have you ever considered the possibility that the world that we live in, as well as the whole universe and all nature could never have come about by itself, or just by happenstance, but is the work of a great and powerful creator and intelligent designer who planned and created everything, including us human beings? Have you ever considered that before? It certainly seems entirely possible when you stop and think about it. Given the fact that all these wonderful things have purpose, reason, and design, it sure looks like there is a creator, a designer, master builder, and owner. If it's so, what do you suppose he is like? That's the one I wanted to talk with you about. About who he is, what he is like, where he is now, what is our relationship to him, and can we know him? Ancient writings about the Creator, his character, handiwork, his titles, and deeds. Did you know there are ancient manuscripts that were written about the Creator? Who he is? What he is like? Where he is now? Our present relationship to him? Even how we can know him personally? These old scrolls tell us about his creative acts. About our ancestors and their relationship to our Creator. These scrolls tell us his name in the ancient language means the living one, or the one who has always existed, or the one who is always there. They also tell us the Creator's name is so sacred, so high and majestic that people in ancient times were afraid to say it out of fear and respect. They tell us that the Creator is above all things. That He is known by many titles, the Most High One, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, the Ancient One, the Living One, the Righteous and Holy One. The Creator's character. These ancient scrolls also tell us that the Creator existed before all things, is above all things, that He has no beginning and no end. It tells us that He is the source of all life, is full of all truth, all knowledge, and all wisdom. They also tell us that He has always existed. Forever. Throughout eternity past, throughout all the eons and ages, and will exist throughout eternity future. No one is greater, and no one could have created the Creator, since He existed long before He created the worlds and all that is contained therein. The Creator's handiwork. The ancient scrolls tell us that He created all the elements, all nature, all the stars in the heavens above, the fish in the waters, all the plants, all the fruit, and all the flowers. That He created the food we eat every day, all for our nourishment and enjoyment. These include, the rice in the fields and the fish in the waters, which He also created. And, that He created the oceans, the streams, the land, the mountains, the trees and the forests, all domestic and wild animals, the birds and all other creatures. He created all things, both visible and invisible. He also set all the natural laws into motion. The Creator's purpose and design in creation. The ancient scrolls also tell us that He created everything with goodness, beauty, purpose, and reason. He made every living thing, all with the ability to procreate after its own kind. Everything reflects His wisdom, and all exists for His enjoyment and good pleasure, according to His purpose, to reflect His majesty, power, splendor, and glory. In the very beginning, there was no sin, no evil, no sickness, no growing old, and no death. Everything the Creator made was perfect and good. He created us with souls, and, when we die, our souls will return to Him. There were no religions in the beginning, because everyone worshipped and honored only the Creator. All things were designed and created by Him, to bring Him the praise and honor befitting His holy name. He alone is the supreme and sovereign ruler, and head over all His creation, including all humanity, every race in every location. The historical good news message: creation to redemption. Angels, Lucifer, the spirit world, the Creator's warning, Satan, temptation, fall, curse, promised Messiah. The Creator also created all the angels or spirit beings, to be His servants and His ambassadors, to do only His will and to worship and serve Him alone. He created them all in eternity past, before He created the world and our ancestors. Since the Creator is the great High Spirit, the angels that He created are intelligent and powerful spirit beings, but not nearly as powerful as the Creator. One of the greatest, most majestic archangels was named Lucifer, which means Star of the Morning. The other two archangels were named Michael and Gabriel. These were the commanders of the Creator's good and faithful angel armies. The Creator Himself is the supreme commander over all of His powerful angel armies. At first, everything was fine. Then, as time went on, because Lucifer was the highest, most powerful angel, he began to harbor jealousy and pride in his heart. He wanted to be greater than his Creator and Lord. Lucifer determined in his heart to stage a coup d'état, and to supplant his own owner and Creator, and place himself on the Creator's throne as ruler over all creation. This was very wrong, very disloyal, very evil, revealing Lucifer's heart for what it had become, full of ingratitude, personal ambition, and sinful pride. However, the Creator, who is all-powerful and knows all things, knew the evil plans that his created angel Lucifer now harbored in his heart. Sin and evil cannot exist in the Creator's presence because He is holy, and dwells surrounded in pure light with no darkness at all. So, even though the Creator loved Lucifer, whom He had created as a pure spirit being, He had to banish Lucifer from his high position as one of the Creator's archangels and cast him out of heaven and away from His presence. There was a great spiritual war in the heavens, which started way back during the beginning. The rebellious Lucifer could not triumph over the Creator and His loyal angels, because the Creator was much more powerful. No one is more powerful than he is. The Creator's good and faithful angels fought and beat Lucifer and all the angels who had rebelled under Lucifer's command. The rebellious force totaled about one-third of all angels. Today, we know them as evil spirits, or demons. The once magnificent Lucifer is now called the Evil One, or Satan, which means the Destroyer. He is also called the Chief Deceiver and Father of Lies. Satan and his army of demons, fallen angels, are very smart. They deceive us into believing their lies, and lead us to rebel against the Creator by following false paths, and cause us to doubt the Creator's goodness and love. The Creator made the lake of fire as a place of final punishment for Satan and the dark angels who rebelled. All people everywhere who follow and obey their master Satan and his demons instead of obeying their Creator will have to go there for eternity with their master, Satan. That is, unless they repent and turn back to the Creator. Our Creator, because of His love for us, has made a way for that to happen. Humankind and our Creator, what happened? The Creator made the world and everything in it, including our ancestors. He also created a beautiful garden with all kinds of fruit trees. He invited our original parents, Adam and Eve, to live there, with freedom to live and eat and care for the garden. The Creator warned our original father and mother about only one thing. There was a special tree in the garden which was set aside for the Creator alone. He forbade them from eating its fruit, warning that they would die if they did. Everything was good, pure, and innocent. There was no sin, no evil, no pain, no sickness, no suffering, and no death. There was only peace, happiness, and well-being. Also, there were no religions to follow at that time, only the Creator to worship and follow. In the beginning, our original parents were pure, perfect, and without sin or death. They knew their Creator personally and enjoyed fellowshipping with Him daily in the garden. Meanwhile, Satan, the Archangel Lucifer who had rebelled, was watching. He hated the Creator and wanted to hurt Him, but could not since the Creator was all-powerful. So, he decided to hurt the Creator by causing Him sadness and pain. Satan did this by lying to our ancestors. He deceived them into doubting the Creator's goodness and tricked them into disobeying His one command. Instead of staying faithful to their Creator, our first parents listened to Satan's deceptive lies. At the moment they disobeyed their Creator's one command, their eyes were immediately opened and they were ashamed. They realized they were no longer innocent and pure, so they tried to hide and cover their shame. Because of their sin of disobedience and ingratitude, their close relationship with their Creator had been broken, putting a great wall of separation between them with no hope of their being able to restore it. Because of our first parents' disobedience, they were separated from their Creator and all that was good, called death, just as He had cautioned would happen. They experienced both spiritual death and physical death, and as a result, were cut off from the Creator's life and blessings. They were banned from the garden and their Creator's presence. Their actions brought the curse of sin, suffering, pain, death, and all sorts of sickness and evil into the world, ever increasing, even to this day because of their disobedience. The bad news. We, like our ancestors, have deliberately disobeyed and shunned our Creator's goodness. We each have chosen to follow after Satan and to worship everything except our Creator. As such, we are cursed, truly fit for judgment and punishment, and condemnation to the lake of fire forever. Everyone, everywhere, is lost in sin and separated from the Creator. There is no way back by our own good works or self-effort. There is no hope. No religion can help, not even your good deeds or mine. We cannot possibly pay the price required for our sins and live. Our Creator is holy and good. People are sinful and unholy, and cannot enter into the Creator's presence and live. Because of our sin, anyone who chooses to face the Creator without an advocate will die the payment price for sin. Otherwise, we must suffer the lake of fire with their master, Satan, and his demons. Therefore, we need an advocate, a mediator between us and our Creator, someone to pay the price for our sins so we can go free. The good news. Besides being holy and righteous, the Creator is full of loving kindness, mercy, and compassion towards all humankind everywhere, you and me included. As such, He has prepared a way for us to return to a restored relationship with Him. Because of the Creator's great love for us, He sent His only Son into the world to be our advocate. The advocate Son lived a perfect, sinless life. He then gave Himself as a pure sacrifice. He died on an execution stake in our place to pay the required price for your sins and mine, and all mankind, the just one dying for the unjust. He shed His blood, so we could be saved, go free and live. Then, to show His power, the advocate Son rose bodily, victorious over sin, death, and our enemy, Satan. Now, the Creator gives all people everywhere a chance to repent before that future day, a day set aside when He will judge everyone who does not repent of their sinful behavior, turn and receive forgiveness through His Son, our sin-bearing advocate. All who refuse to repent and receive the free gift of forgiveness and eternal life through the advocate Son must undergo judgment and be condemned to spend eternity in the lake of fire with their master, Satan, a place of torment from where there is no way to escape or repent, because they have turned their back on the Creator and have followed Satan. The Creator wants all people everywhere to repent and receive forgiveness through His Son, to be born anew spiritually into His family of holy people. Therefore, if you do, you will be freed from being Satan's slave any longer. He is the evil one who has held you and your ancestors tightly in his evil grasp since long ago, when your original parents sinned by disobeying their Creator. Jesus, is He our Creator God, Savior, and Advocate, or a human religious leader? Who is this promised Advocate that was sent? The name of the Creator's Son and promised Advocate is Jesus, which means Savior. Jesus is not a mere religious founder or teacher like you have been wrongly led to believe. Jesus is both the Most High Eternal One and our Creator God. As such, He alone has full authority to pardon you from your sin. The Lord Jesus had compassion on our hopelessly lost, sinful condition. In coming to be our Savior, Jesus borrowed the tummy of a virgin Jewish maiden and entered our world as a little baby so that we could better understand and identify with Him. He grew up to be our Savior. As such, Jesus is 100% the Most High One and 100% man. He is our Creator who came to live with us in the form of a human being to be our sin-bearing advocate. If you will humble yourself, repent and receive Jesus into your heart and life by trusting in Him, He will pardon and forgive your sin, and restore you to a right relationship with God the Father. To prove He is our Creator God, Jesus demonstrated His supernatural power over the wind and the waves, over sickness and even over death itself, all of the natural laws that He put in place to govern things. In fact, after He was sacrificed as the payment price for our sins by crucifixion, He rose bodily from the grave after the third day, showing victory and power over death itself. He now offers us this same eternal life, without death and without reincarnation like you have been wrongly taught. Jesus also promised that He will return in the near future. When He does, He will receive all those who have trusted in Him to go be with Him in heaven forever. In heaven, there is no evil or sin, no suffering or sorrow, no sickness or disease, no torment or pain, no growing old or dying. Also, there are no evil demonic spirits there to trouble you, because Jesus broke their power over you. They cannot dwell in pure light. He conquered these evil spirits when He gave Himself as a sacrifice to die on the cross to pay the price of our sins. He then rose back to life again in His own body from the tomb to demonstrate His power over death itself. Jesus Christ did all these things for us, because of His great love for us as our Creator. This wonderful free gift is yours if you embrace this truth. To do so, you must change your mind about yourself and about who Jesus is and receive Him as your sin-bearing advocate. This is done by simply asking Him for mercy and putting your full trust in Him alone to save you, not relying on any of your good works. If you receive this priceless gift of forgiveness and eternal life from Jesus, you will be saved at that very moment from all your sin, past, present, and future. Jesus is the Most High One and your Creator. He has all authority on in heaven and on earth to save you forever. But, if you refuse His free gift of salvation, He also has full authority as the Most High Judge to condemn you to hell for your sin. What will it be? If you choose to reject the Creator's free gift of forgiveness, be warned that only one thing awaits you when you die, and it's not reincarnation. You will meet God face to face, sitting on His great white throne. There, He will judge you for your life of sin. You will be condemned to suffer in hell and the lake of fire forever, along with your master Satan, and his fallen demon angels. If you have received Jesus Christ as your sin-bearing advocate, you will not enter into this. Which way will you choose? Will you change your mind right now and trust in Jesus? If you do, at that moment you will receive forgiveness and eternal life. You will live with Jesus in heaven forever because you received God's free offer of mercy and grace on your behalf? Or, will you continue to depend on religion, hoping you'll be good enough? If you choose the old way, you will face your Creator God's judgment and eternal punishment in payment for your sin. Remember, this is not about changing religion, it is about receiving a restored relationship with your Creator, something no religion can ever do for you. I invite you to receive your Creator's free gift of salvation right now. If you do, He has promised to forgive you and deliver you from the coming judgment. That's where everyone, everywhere, dead or alive, will be judged by the Creator. But if you receive His offer, there'll be no more fear of death or judgment or reincarnation to avoid. That is, if you receive your Creator's offer of forgiveness, you will enjoy peace and joy and eternal life. Then, when your time comes to leave this earth, you will go directly to live with your Creator God in His heavenly city. There, He will take care of you forever, along with everyone else who has received Him. That includes all your friends and relatives who have received Jesus Christ into their hearts and lives. So, you need to tell them that they too can be saved. There will be no more darkness, pain, sorrow, sickness, suffering, or dying. Only goodness, happiness, and well-being forever in God's presence. All of this is made possible because of our Creator's loving kindness and mercy towards you and me. Amen. Author: Reverend Ron Myers. ronmyers@isanbible.org. Sunshine Productions. San Diego, California. Copyright 2015. All rights reserved. 100,000 copies printed. Not to be sold free for distribution.